जगन्नाथ बालदेव लेडी सुभद्र की सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जी की श्री प्रहलाद नृसिंह देव की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की गौर देवानंदी गय श्री असमुदी भवती गय श्री असमुदी भवती गय श्री असमुदी भवती गय श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग गौरंग So, continuing with the mood of the retreat weekend, the selection was that this morning we would discuss the 9 processes of devotional service. There's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story, Pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, where he mentions these processes to his father. So we'll chant the sloka. There are actually 2 verses together. The first one is put on the board, and the second one we'll do the translation to also. And then we'll read some of the purport. The purport is it's about 12 pages long, so it's a little long to read. So we'll kind of skip that and do a summary. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parad Uvacha. Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu. Smaram Parasevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Siparad Uvacha. Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu. Smaram Parasevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Shriparadu Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaram Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam
Shriparadu Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaram Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam
Thank you.
Prahlad Maharaj said, Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam, chanting, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. In a certain tense of the word, it's said, pronounced Vishnu. It's V-I-S-N-O-H, sounds Vishnu. So that's a certain grammatical consideration in terms of pronunciation. Of Lord Vishnu. Not anyone else. Smaranam, remembering. Padasevanam, serving the feet. Archanam, offering worship. With sada sopachara, the 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming the best friend. Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything, whatever one has. Iti, thus. Pumsam arpita, offered by the devotee. Vishnu, unto Lord Vishnu, not to anyone else. Bhakti, devotional service. Chet, if. Navalakshana, possessing 9 different processes. Kriyeta, one should perform. Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ada, directly or completely. Tat, that. Manhe, I consider. Aditam, learning. Uttamam, topmost. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 kinds of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord as one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with body, mind, and words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Sandat Namarka, were useless. Bhakti parasanabho vyakto anyatra cha. This is a symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna, or Lord Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archanam. How to perform archanam will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great, well-wishing friend of everyone. Suhidam sarva-bhutanam. A devotee considers Krishna the only friend. This is called sakyam. Pumsarpita Vishnu. The word pumsa means by all living entities. There are no distinctions permitting only a man or a brahma to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Striyo vaishyas tata sudras depi antipratam katim. Although women, vaishyas, and sudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home back to Godhead. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activity customarily offers the results to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavata Adhya, one must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nyas. A tridandi sannyasi carries three dandas, signifying kya, mano, vakya, body, mind, and words. All of these should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruitive workers first perform some pious activities, and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body, mind, and words, and then uses his body, mind, and words for the service of Krishna, as Krishna desires. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's forms, qualities, entourage, and pastimes, as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them. That is called kirtan. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord, and padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archana means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple, and Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhava madbhato mamyaji mam namaskaru. Vandanam means namaskaru, offering obeisances or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be a Nitya Krishna Das, everlastingly a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam. And Sakyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, a sincere friend of Krishna should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atmanivedana means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. One's sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. The word adya means directly. One should not be like the karmis who perform pious activities and then formally offer the results to Krishna. That is called karmakanda. One should not aspire for the results of one's pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of one's own senses. The nine different processes enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj, who learned them from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, may not at all be required for execution of devotional service. If a devotee only performs one of these nine processes without deviation, he can attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes it is found that when one performs one of these processes, other processes are mixed with it. This is not improper for a devotee. When a devotee executes one of the nine processes, this is sufficient. The other eight processes are included. Now let us discuss these nine different processes. And then the rest of the purport goes on to explain each of the nine processes, and there's a very elaborate discussion on each one of the nine. So we'll summarize these different points. Om Gyanta Midandasya Gyanajana Sarakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tatsmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swayam Padanti Kam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaur Bhattavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, according to the authorized scriptures and the scrutinizingly study of the great sages who have studied the process of devotional service, these nine particular activities constitute the activities of devotional service. This verse was originally spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami when he gave him the nine processes of devotional service. So maybe we can just individually go through them. But before we do that, let's see if everyone remembers one of the nine. What is the first one? In English.
Hearing.
Okay. Because we don't have to translate. First one is hearing. Second one is?
Chanting.
Third, we'll take, everyone gets a chance. Not everybody all together. What's the third one? Who knows the third one?
Remembering.
Okay. Fourth one?
Serving
the lotus feet. Fourth? Offering prayer. Offering worship. Archana. The next?
Prayers.
Next one? Huh? Serving the lotus feet, right? We did that. Becoming a servant. Becoming a servant. The next one is? Becoming a friend. And the last?
Surrendering everything.
These are the nine processes which constitute devotional service. The Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mandana Bhava Madbhakal, Mamiji Mas Nam Namaskar, Mami Vaisasi Satyante, Patijana Priyosime. This verse from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your respects to me. Surely you will come to me, I promise you this, because you're my very dear friend. Krishna gives assurance through this verse that if you do these four things, you'll actually come back to the Supreme Lord. And that is the essence of devotional service. So these nine processes constitute the essence of that particular verse. And now, what is the essence of devotional service, ultimately? There's two essential principles. But the one I'm particularly looking at is that the most important thing in devotional service is to remember Krishna. And there are 64, what we call regulative rules and regulations, that one must follow in order to execute devotional service. These are mentioned in Nectar Devotion. And the first and foremost is always remember Krishna. And the second one is never forget Krishna. So you have the positive, remember, and the second, don't forget. It is said that if you can follow this, two rules, you're automatically following all the other rules. The entire process of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is to always remember Krishna. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, always remember me. That is the essential goal of devotional service, to somehow or other remember Krishna. So these nine processes help one actually come to the stage of remembering Krishna. We remember Krishna by hearing about him, by chanting his name, by remembering him, offering prayers to him, worshipping in the temple, serving his lotus feet, doing his service, becoming a friend, and ultimately giving up everything to him. These are all ways that help us to remember Krishna. Now, it's important to understand that although there are nine processes, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that one of these processes can make you perfect in devotional service. You don't have to execute all nine, because when you execute one, sometimes, as it was explained in the purport, some of the other processes are automatically mixed in. But even if you exclusively focus on one and perfect that one, one can ultimately attain the goal of devotional service. So what is that one that is considered to be the foundation for all the others? Who can...
Huh?
Hearing. Hearing is the foundation for all those. If you hear about Krishna, then you can chant Krishna's name. If you hear about Krishna, you can remember Krishna. If you hear about Krishna, you can serve Krishna. If you hear about Krishna, then you can carry out his instructions. If you hear about Krishna, you can serve. In other words, hearing is the foundation where all the other processes develop. So the most important one is called Shravana, hearing. And the power of transcendental sound vibration, or the narrations of the activities, qualities, pastimes of the Lord, automatically purify the mind and heart. So this process of hearing is very, very, very powerful. So in the scriptures, it mentions that each one of these nine processes were perfected by one person. If you go through each of the nine processes, there's one transcendental personality who has perfected each one. So let's have another transcendental quiz. Let's see. I think participatory types of classes seem to be more enlivening for me. Instead of listening to me and getting bored and falling asleep, it's better to see if you can interact a little bit. So you don't have to get bored listening to me. The first one is Shravanam, or hearing. Who knows who perfected the process of hearing? Now, not one person dominate everything. Now, you have to raise your hand for this. Maharaj Chaitanya. Maharaj Pariksit. He perfected the process of hearing. He heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lotus lips of Sukadeva Goswami for 7 full days without even considering anything else. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, and he didn't drink any water. He was completely immersed in hearing the glories of the Lord. He completely forgot all his bodily needs and activities. And after he was done hearing 7 full days, he heard the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. He became completely perfect. And then it was time for him to leave. He went back home, back to God. He finished up his life. He was a king. He gave up his family. He gave up his kingdom. He gave up his wealth. He gave up his position. He gave up everything to sit down on the banks of the river and simply to listen to the narrations of the Lord. And he not only did he listen, but he was asking questions. He was wanting to know more and more. And so he became perfect simply by hearing that process. Nothing else. And this is one of the essential principles in Krishna consciousness. By giving very keen oral reception to the sound vibration, and then actually that sound vibration enters into the mind and into the heart, purifies the heart, and awakens one's relationship with Krishna. Because love for Krishna is there in the heart. And through the process of hearing, it cuts through all the layers of material contamination. And gradually, we awaken to our natural attraction for Krishna simply by hearing his name, form, pastimes, activities, paraphernalia, everything about Krishna. When we hear about that, gradually we become attracted to Krishna. Gradually we become attracted to Krishna simply by hearing about Krishna. Just like sometimes we hear about some famous personality in this world, about what they have achieved, some great feat they have done, and we become a little enthusiastic to know more about them, and maybe even to meet them. This is natural. In the same way in transcendental societies, when we hear about Krishna, gradually we awaken our attraction for Krishna simply by hearing. Why? Because Krishna is all attractive. And the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord are none different than the Lord. They go right directly to the essence, and simply we become inspired in devotional service. So in our kirtans, by giving very strict oral attention to the sound vibration of the chanter, when that gradually awakens within the heart and the desire to chant. When we hear, we chant. When we chant, we remember. When we remember, we have fulfilled the perfection of our Krishna consciousness. Okay, Sravanam. The next one is kirtanam, and this was perfected by, raise your hand, please. Yes. Sukadev Goswami. As Maharaj Pariksha was hearing for 7 days, because Sukadev Goswami was chanting for 7 days. And Maharaj Pariksha was so interested in hearing that Sukadev Goswami was becoming enthusiastic to chant more and more. He was praising the king. He was praising. Your questions are glorious. They're glorious because they're for the benefit of the entire world. So Sukadev Goswami was becoming so excited just to narrate the pastimes of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that when there is attentive hearing, then the speaker also becomes enthusiastic to speak. When the audience is not attentive to hear, then the speaker also doesn't become so enthusiastic to speak. Because Krishna inspires according to the intention. He inspires both to do both. So as Sukadev Goswami was narrating, he was becoming more and more enthusiastic. And at one point, he was practically going into ecstasy, narrating the pastimes of the Lord. Maharaj Pariksha was so absorbed. He was so absorbed. In fact, there were so many other great sages that were sitting there listening to this narration. But Maharaj Pariksha wasn't aware of anyone but Sukadev Goswami and what he was saying. He was so absorbed. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that when we become so fixed on a particular goal in life or subject matter, you ever have that? Sometimes a girl, she wants a boy so bad, fixes her mind on that, and that's all she can think of. Or a boy wants a girl, and he fixes his mind on that girl, day and night, his consciousness is absorbed in that, can't think of anything else, doing everything just mechanically or sometimes haphazardly, and they become so absorbed in each other. Or a person wants money so bad that all they can think of is how to get money, right? People become absorbed in something, in the opposite sex, in money, or getting some, because I gotta have that position, and I'm doing everything, right? A politician, he wants to be a great leader, he wants the presidency, he just does everything he can to get that presidency. He doesn't care what he has to do, he's fixed on it. That's his goal, and he's absorbed. Everything else, no time for eating, right? Sometimes the politicians, they travel. They go for a day sometimes, they drink a little bit of, you know, coffee just to stay awake, but they keep going. Sometimes they have no time to eat. They're meeting people, going to different conferences, collecting money. You know, they're just so, I gotta get all the energy and time like that. So Sukadev Goswami was so enthusiastic because Maharaj Pariksha was only wanted to hear about Krishna. He did nothing else. He couldn't think of anything else. Prabhupada says, when you have that kind of consciousness, then you get the result. And you become oblivious. So Prabhupada uses an example of, it's an interesting example he uses, but he says, Stalin, you know, the leader of the communist country of Russia many years. Of course, he was quite a cruel person, but he was so absorbed in spreading communism that one time he had some intestinal problems, so he had to have an operation. So they were going to give him some chloroform for, you know, to give him an anesthesia so he can have an operation. He said, no, I'll watch the operation. He was watching his own operation. They were cutting him open. Prabhupada said, his mind was so absorbed in spreading communism that he was oblivious to the pain. So it works with Krishna consciousness too. When you're thinking only how to serve Krishna, you're fixed on Krishna. Everything else just seems to fall away. And Krishna, everything you do, everything you think of, everything you say, everything, everybody you meet is all centered around one thing, Krishna. And that is Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj Pariksha was like that. And Sukadev Goswami was a qualified speaker, and therefore he became so enlivened just to hear. So he perfected that process of chanting by speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Pariksha. Okay, third process, who knows? What is the next one? Remembering was perfected by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, as we're hearing from this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, his father, Hiranyakashipu, was wanting to make him the king of the demons when he left. You know, the father wants to make the son the heir. So the son needs to be trained up accordingly. That's natural, especially in Vedic culture. The father is always thinking how to position his son and to follow when he leaves. So his father was the king of the demons. So he wanted his son to be the king of the demons when he left. So he was trying to train him up. But Prahlad was a devotee. He heard from Narada Muni in the womb. And he became a complete purified devotee. When he came out, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He had no interest in anything of demoniac life. But his father was trying to always teach him through his teachers in school, teach him himself. Finally, he got so frustrated that, you know, he decided, well, this child of mine is useless. Better if he doesn't even live. So he tried to kill him. He tried to kill him by throwing him off a cliff. He tried to throw him under stampeding elephants. He put him in a pot of boiling oil. Had him stabbed by swords. He put him in blazing fire. What else was there? There was a number of things. Snake bite. In snake pit. Pit of snakes. He threw him in a pit of snakes. But Prahlad Maharaj was so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that none of these things affected him. He was completely protected because he was so much absorbed in Krishna. All these dangerous situations had no effect upon him. This is not some imagination. When one has that kind of remembrance for Krishna, they are completely free from the effects of the material energy. Hiranyakashipu, he came up to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was chanting the holy names of the Lord. So Hiranyakashipu, he became angry. He pulled out his sword and he said, "Keep quiet, don't chant God's name." But Narada Muni, what does he do? He just chants God's name, that's all he does. He plays his veena and he travels around, he's chanting the glories of the Lord, and he's always in ecstasy. So he said, "If you don't keep quiet, I'm going to kill you." Narada Muni kept chanting. So he took his sword out, tried to stab him. Sword had no effect. He looked at the sword, he looked at Narada. Tried to stab him again, for nor that sword had no effect. So he said to Narada, "You've become immortal." And Narada said, "You can become immortal too. Just chant the holy names of the Lord." He said, "No, no, no." So he ran to one hill. I forgot the name. Who was it? Mandamadana Hill. And he performed austerities for 125 celestial years to become immortal. He wouldn't take the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is guaranteed immortality. But he wanted to do it his way. Well, that's the nature of a demon. And they got their own plans that don't work. So, Prahlad Maharaj was so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that none of the effects of his father's attempt to kill him had anything. His sister, Prahlad Maharaj's sister, she was given a benediction that she could not be burned by fire. So what Prahlad's father did, he told her, "You take him and we'll put fire on him. You hold him on your lap and we'll light the fire." And her benediction was that she could not be burned by fire. She got that blessing. But because he was a pure devotee, and Agni is a servant of Krishna, she got the benediction from the fire god Agni. The fire could not burn her. But because Agni has to serve Krishna. Agni is a pure devotee of Krishna. So when a pure devotee is in trouble, what happened? Agni, he did his service. She got burned to death and Prahlad got away. He walked out of the fire and she died. Who knows the name of that festival? That name is so, huh? Kirta. There's another name we also know. Holi. That's the famous Holi festival. When people throw colored dyes. That was because of her. That particular Prahlad Maharaj escaped the fire burning. He was thinking of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, the things that happen to Prahlad Maharaj, you can also be affected, or not affected in the same way. He said, don't try it though. Don't jump in a pot of boiling oil and say, "I'll be like Prahlad Maharaj." It doesn't work like that. But he said, if you become so absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and then you can only think of Krishna, you can't think of anything else, and then the material energy has no effect. It has no effect. This is Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj perfected that simply by remembering the Lord. Okay, number four. Any of the ladies know? What's the next one? We have to give some opportunity for the ladies to participate also. Who knows the fourth one? Anyone know? Mother Tina? You got it, but you didn't. The lotus serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And who was the person who perfected that particular? Huh? Does anyone know for sure? Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. She resides on the chest of the Lord. She never leaves that particular place. And she's constantly engaged in worshiping the lotus feet of the Lord. She doesn't deviate from that. That is her service. Okay, that's Lakshmi Devi. The next one? That's four. What's the next one? Prema Bhakti? You know? Huh? Archanam. What? Huh? Pritam. Pritam Maharaj, who is the king of the world. He was also a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he perfected the process of deity worship. This is mentioned. And there wasn't so much detailed elaboration of his particular activities, but it says that he focused on this. He worshipped the Lord with such great expertise and with great opulence that the Lord was revealed himself through his process of worship. The next one is? Yes? Bandhanam. Bandhanam is what?
Yes.
Offering prayers. By? Akrura. Akrura. Akrura was... Who is Akrura, anyway? Does anybody know?
Krishna's uncle.
He was Krishna's uncle, but he was also a personal friend of who? Kamsa. He was a personal friend of the person who wanted to kill Krishna, Kamsa. Why did he become a personal friend of Kamsa? Because he knew Kamsa was going to try to kill Krishna in Vrindavan. He wanted to go to Vrindavan to warn Krishna. He knew it. That's why, as Kamsa was annihilating all his opponents, he didn't want to become an opponent to Kamsa, so he made friends with Kamsa. He got Kamsa's confidence, and Kamsa sent him on a mission to bring Krishna out of Vrindavan, which he did. But there's a beautiful section in that particular pastime where he's offering beautiful, beautiful prayers. The prayers of Akrura. So beautiful. In fact, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is full of beautiful prayers glorifying the Lord. If we simply repeat these prayers, the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, the prayers by Akrura, the prayers by Lord Shiva, prayers by Lord Brahma, prayers by the Pachetas, prayers by... Huh? Rajendra. The elephant. Ah, that's your favorite? You like that? Those prayers are powerful. Prabhupada said that devotees should learn one other mantra besides the Hare Krishna mantra. In other words, we should definitely become fixed in chanting Hare Krishna, but we should learn another mantra which we should recite regularly and pray using that mantra. And the story is Gajendra, when he was in trouble, he was being attacked, he's an elephant, he was being attacked by a crocodile. And for a long period of time, thousands of years, he was fighting this crocodile. And although elephants are more powerful than crocodiles, he was out of his element. He was in the water. And the crocodile was becoming more stronger, and he was becoming weakened. Finally, he remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a mantra that he remembered in his last life. He remembered a mantra that he was a king in his previous life. He was King Indraduna, the person who established the worship of Lord Jagannath. So he just happened to remember that mantra. Elephants don't have good memory, to recall. Not in past lives, anyway. And he remembered it. So Prabhupada said, as devotees, we should also try to perfect another mantra besides the Hare Krishna mantra, and chant that also very regularly. Not Sadi Rad Vijayaja Tendriyate, not that one. That's not the one I was talking about. Of course, that's not so bad, but... Okay, it's the process of offering prayers. And the Bhagavatam is so full of prayers. If we just read, pick up the Bhagavatam and read these prayers and enter into the prayers, take the position of being the person who is actually saying the prayers. Don't read them as someone else's prayers. Read them as your prayers to Krishna. And you actually take on that same consciousness. You can just express your love for Krishna, your appreciation and your glorification of Krishna through these beautiful, beautiful prayers. This is devotional service every day, praying like that. Okay, so that's one of them. Next one is? Huh? Hanuman. Becoming a servant. What was Hanuman's qualification? He perfected the idea of service. That his only concern was, what do I have to do to serve the Lord? He didn't consider whether it was easy, possible, impossible, nice, if there was prasadam. He wanted to serve the Lord. So, when Lakshman was hit by the javelin of Indrajit, it looked like he was going to leave his life. Hanuman was told, you go to this one mountain. What's the name of that mountain?
Gandhamana.
Gandhamana in the mountain. Which was thousands of miles away. So Hanuman flew. And he flew all the way. And then Hanuman sometimes, he's enthusiastic for service, but he forgets things. He has a tendency to forget. So he couldn't find the earth. Couldn't remember what it looked like or, you know, what they told him. So he was thinking, I still have to bring the herb back. And I have no time to run back and get another, you know, report. So he just took the whole mountain. Brought the whole mountain back. And then that way they found the herb and they administered the herb. Like that. So he was so enthusiastic. And then, of course, the story is, and then when he jumped across the ocean to go to Lanka and try to find Mother Sita, he jumped up in the air and he flew. He had the power. In fact, only he had the power to jump across the ocean. None of the other monkeys could do it. Except, who was it? There was one other monkey that could do it, but he didn't do it. Who knows who that was? Huh? Sugriva? Ah, Sugriva was very powerful. But it was actually Jambavan. Jambavan, he had the power, but the reason why he didn't do it is because he was old. He was getting old, so he wanted to retire from jumping. So he took it easy a little bit. So he gave Hanuman the benefit. So Hanuman jumped. So while he was jumping, he was flying in the air. From the bottom of the ocean, a mountain raised up. And the mountain said, Hanuman, please take rest on my mountain and have some nice fruits and roots and herbs and take a break. You know, relax, a little vacation. He said, I have no time. I'm on a mission. Thank you very much. Touched the mountain, offered his respects to the offering, and kept going. And he was determined. And while he was flying a little more along, and then from arose from the ocean this giant, giant Rakshasi. She said, ah, monkey! No one passes by me without entering into my mouth. I've been given a benediction by Brahman. Anyone comes by must go into my mouth, and I will eat them. So, monkey, you are my dinner, lunch, prasad. So, she opened her mouth wide. So Hanuman, he expanded his mouth wide, and she opened her mouth 10 yojanas yet wide. And he expanded 20 yojanas. So she opened her mouth 30 yojanas. And he expanded to 40. And she opened to 50, and he's 60. And she opened to 70, he went to 80. And she opened to 90. And he shrunk down to a size, a little small monkey. He went into her mouth, all the way down her body, and ripped out her heart, and then came out, and then went on his way. And she just died. Hanuman ki! Ah, so Hanuman, he didn't want to delay. He had a mission. So, when he was flying through the air, and another female was another kind of a Rakshasi, but she was a friendly Rakshasi. She said, Hanuman! She said also, she opened her mouth to swallow Hanuman. No, what she did was she grabbed his shadow. She grabbed his shadow. And he was wondering, I can't move, what's wrong here? And he's trying to fly, and he realized there was this giant Rakshasi that had his shadow. And she also said, no one comes past here without entering into my mouth. So she opened her mouth wide, and Hanuman went in her mouth and came out. And he said, thank you very much, but I have to go. She said, you have fulfilled the desire. Very good work, monkey. She blessed him, and he went on his way. So he went into her mouth and came out. And so this particular aspect of Hanuman is that his only thought was how to serve the Lord. He couldn't think of anything else. He had a mission. He didn't want to be distracted with anything. It's like sometimes, you know, we have some service to do, and someone comes along and wants to talk. And then sometimes we get distracted. And we have this important service. But Hanuman, what was it? He was so absorbed in worshiping Ram that he couldn't think of anything else but Ram. He was a Ram Bhakta exclusively. There's one story. Hanuman was worshiping the Lord in the form of Ram, his deity. And Krishna was in Dwarka. So Krishna sent Garuda to find Hanuman. I think Hanuman was somewhere near Ayodhya. And Ram wasn't there. So Garuda said to Hanuman, after he arrived, he said, Hanumanji, Krishna's in Dwarka, he wants to see you. Hanuman didn't even hear him. He was so absorbed in worshiping Ram. So Garuda said, didn't you hear me? Krishna, he's calling you. He wants you to come to Dwarka right now. You can jump on my back, I'll take you. Hanuman, he didn't pay attention to him. So Garuda was very persistent. He said, come on, Krishna wants you, he's calling. You're a devotee. So Hanuman, he just flicked his tail. He hit Garuda. Garuda went flying back to Dwarka. He turned around, he was in the midst of Krishna. Krishna said, what happened? He said, I told him you called me. You called him to come. Krishna said, he's not going to come. Now you go back and you tell him Ram wants him to come to Dwarka. His worshipful Lord Ram. So Garuda went back and said, Hanumanji, Ram's in Dwarka, he wants you to come. And just about the time he finished his statement, he looked around, Hanuman was gone. He was gone. And Garuda flew back to Dwarka, and there was Hanuman. He was there already. And Krishna, what he did, he changed his form into Ram. And he asked, he said, Satyabhama, since Krishna was in Dwarka, so the queens were there, he said, Satyabhama, you take the form of Rukmini. You take the form of, of Sita, and I'll become Ram, and you become Sita. She said, no. She refused. So then he said to Rukmini, you do it. So she did it. She took the form of Sita, and Balaram was there, he took the form of Lakshman. So when Hanuman came, he saw Ram, Sita, and Lakshman there in Dwarka. He was all happy. Hanuman has that kind of mood. He's just so fixed on serving Lord Ram. Can't think of anything else. Constantly. That's his mood. He's like absorbed in Ram. Everywhere you go in India, you see, there's so many statues, so many deities of Hanuman. Hanuman's everywhere. Everywhere in India, right? You travel, those of you who traveled in India, they're from India. He's from the south to the north. Everyone has some attraction for Hanumanji. Because he's such a devotee. He's so absorbed. He can't think of anything else. How to serve. That's his only mission. So he perfected that aspect of service. The next one is? Friendship. And that was, who was the ladies, who knows who perfected the, we have to give the ladies a chance to participate. They are very shy and humble, and they don't want to compete with all you learned pundits here. So, ladies know who perfected the friendship, the mood of friendship. If you think very simply, you'll understand very easily. Who was that person that had a friendship with Krishna? It's an easy one. It's very easy. Arjuna, correct. Very good, thank you very much. Arjuna. Arjuna was in the mood of the friendship of the Lord. He was constantly thinking of Krishna in friendship. He used to eat with Krishna, he would share the same bed with Krishna, he did everything with Krishna. He was his personal friend. So he was in that mood. And Krishna talked to him confidentially. He told him the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So that was friendship. And the last one is, you are super pundit, you know everything. Okay, Bali Maharaj. One perfected surrendering everything to the Lord. Who was Bali Maharaj? Who knows? What was his position? Who knows? Dilip, you know who Bali Maharaj was? Who was he? He was a demon. He was a demon. And he got the mercy of the Lord, and he actually surrendered everything. The story is Vamanadeva. Bali had became so powerful by worshipping his spiritual master, Sukracharya, and that he marched onto the heavenly kingdom. And the demigods, when they saw Bali coming, they said, look like 1,000 suns. He was such an effulgent personality. Demons are powerful. Not the demons nowadays. Demons years ago, they would perform austerities and to the penance, and they were well versed in Vedic literature. Rani Kashipu knew the Vedas. Ravana knew the Vedas. So, he perfected that, and when Indra saw Bali coming, what did he do? He just left. He didn't even try to fight against Bali. Bali just became so powerful. So, then the demigods were in problems. The universal management had been disrupted. Bali had taken everything. So, when that happens, what happens? What do you do then when everything... Just like if, the rogues come over and they... Say a rogue's come in and they take over the local government. What do? You have to go to the next higher level of echelon and get some help, right? So they went to Lord Brahma and said, help! The universe is being mismanaged. It's gone. So, the Lord Brahma called and the Lord appeared as Vamana, little dwarf Brahma. And he went to the assembly of Bali Maharaj, and Bali was performing sacrifice. And Bali, when he saw Vamanadeva, he became so attracted to Vamanadeva. He immediately offered his prayers and respects, and he worshipped Vamanadeva. He actually He offered water to his lotus feet. He washed his feet. And he said to Vamanadeva, "You are my guest. I am a Kshatriya. You are a Brahmin. Please take from me some gift." Vamanadeva said, "I don't need anything." He said, no, please take some gift. He said, "Okay, I'll take 3 steps of land." He said, "You're so small. What are you going to do with 3 steps? It's nothing. I have the whole creation. I can give you an island, a beautiful wife, a mansion, whatever you want, money. Just ask and I'll give it to you." He was willing to give whatever he wanted. And Vamanadeva said the most important thing. He said, "One who is not satisfied with what they need will never be satisfied." Very important instruction given by the Lord. That when you have what you need, that's all you need. If you go beyond what you need, you create what is called an entanglement. You get entangled in the excess of accumulation. So, therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness means to take what one needs and needs in order to keep body and soul together. And that way it's easy to execute devotional service. If we become too much entangled in material affairs, what happens is, and then we lose the focus in devotional life. So, the Lord gave that instruction. But Bali was insistent. So what did the Lord do? He said, "Okay, you can have 3 steps. The first step, he took all the land, all the planets and everything in the middle and lower planetary system. His second step, he covered the higher planetary systems and his foot punctured the covering of the universe. And he attained into his universal form. After 2 steps, he took everything that Bali owned. And Bali had nothing left. And he said to Bali, "You have given me a promise of 3 steps. Therefore, you're not fulfilling your promise. You're the thief. So where can I put my 3rd step? And there was nothing left. He had taken everything from the Lord. So what did Bali do? He didn't know what to do. He was speechless. He didn't have anything to offer the Lord. So the Lord said, "Tie him up. He's a thief." So they tied him up with the ropes of Vasuki. And he was like a common prisoner. And then, just at that time, Bali's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, came into the assembly. And when Prahlad Maharaj came into the assembly, everyone was so happy to see Prahlad. And upon seeing his grandfather, who was a great devotee of the Lord, Bali started to praise and offer nice prayers. And then, by worshipping his grandfather, who was a pure devotee, in his heart he realized, "Yes, I do have something else to offer the Lord." And he turned to the Lord, he said, "Yes, you can put your 3rd step right on my head. I surrender my life to you." He surrendered it, not only all his possessions, but his life. And the Lord was so happy with Bali that he agreed to become his personal servant. The Lord actually took the position of becoming the doorkeeper of Bali. He said, "Bali, you can have a planet." He gave him a planet called Sutala, and where the Lord resides in that planet as the personal servant of Bali. He was so happy to see Bali's humility. From a big, powerful demon that had usurped the universe, he gave everything to the Lord, including his own life. So he perfected that. And here's an example. Sometimes we think, "Oh, if I give something to the Lord, and then that won't happen anymore. I'll lose it." But actually, whatever we give to the Lord, we get back. That is the fact. The more you give to Krishna, the more Krishna gives to you. Krishna says, "As you approach me, I reward you accordingly." But we don't trust Krishna. We don't. We're just willing to give a little bit, because we're afraid we give too much. But Krishna doesn't want material things. He's not asking for those material. He's asking for our heart. That's what he really wants. He wants our heart. That's the real thing he's asking for, to give your heart to Krishna. When you give your heart to Krishna, then you've given everything. So Bali Maharaj was the perfect example of surrendering everything to the Lord. And he's glorified for that. So these are the 9 processes of devotional service. The 7 are on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. That is, following rules and regulations. But becoming a friend and surrendering everything is on the platform of spontaneous devotional service. That is the Raghavita platform. So we should practice these 9 processes as much as we can, but especially hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Out of all the 9, these 2 processes, to hear about Krishna, to chant Krishna's name, helps us to ultimately attain the goal of life by remembering Krishna in devotional service. Okay, so that's a brief description of the 9 processes of devotional service. Are there any questions or comments or anything? Yes, Murari Chaitanya? No, that's your... If you're naturally attracted to something, then you can consider that something you can pursue, and that is coming from Krishna within your own heart to inspire you in that way. But We should also include hearing. We have to hear. That has to be there. But we can practice any one of the nine. That's what this verse says. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, we emphasize chanting the glories of the Lord. Hearing about Krishna and chanting. That is what is emphasized. To chant the holy names of the Lord and to chant the glories of the Lord. These things are emphasized. Any other comments, questions, or anything? Which one do you like, Murari? What is the one you like the most? Here. Serving the deities, that's Archanam. It's nice, deity worship. That's... Mm-hmm. That's nice. Good. Then Krishna will inspire you to become more enthusiastic. And there's so much to deity worship that you can learn. There's so many books, so many prayers, so many ways of serving the Lord according to the authorized scriptures. If we get into our service, whatever our service is, no matter what it may be, if we just dive into it, if our service is cooking, we should think of different ways how to cook for Krishna, how to make things nicer. If our service is on the altar, we should think of the different ways of how to dress Krishna, or how to decorate the altar. If our service is preaching, we should study the books, learn the slokas, and find new arguments and ways to present Krishna conscious philosophy. Whatever our service, if our service is cleaning, just like we had one devotee here a little while back, he was so into cleaning. He was just looking everywhere for things to clean. And as he was looking, Krishna was showing him. He was finding more and more places to clean. He was making everything so nice and neat and clean. The place was becoming so spotless. Everywhere you go, you could say, he was here. Krishna Das was here. He was cleaning so nicely, right? And everybody was remembering him through his service. And the place was becoming so nice. So whatever your service is, don't just do it. Get into it. Get into it. Because Krishna reveals himself through your service. He reveals himself through your service. Whatever it is. Yeah, just like in Mayapur, right? In Janati Vas. Bhadari right? There for 20, almost 30 years. 30 years he's been serving the deity. He knows all the aspects of Bhadari. He can tell you everything about the deities. He can tell you what colors are supposed to be on what days. And right? There's a different color outfit for the different holidays. He can tell you all about the different aspects of deity worship. There's so many intricacies. I don't know so much, but... And it becomes, Krishna reveals himself through the service. If we're cooking, how to make nicer and nicer preparations for Krishna. How to serve him. Right? Go into the kitchen, think of a nice recipe, make it nice, offer it to Krishna. That's a devotional service. Krishna reveals himself to the service like that. You can get excited about your service. We think, oh, I have my service, and that's it. But your service really opens up when you get into it. It just, Krishna, just, the whole world just opens up when you just get into your service. Just absorb yourself in your service. How to do it nicer. How to do it in different ways. Right? When a woman cooking for her husband, she's thinking, let me make something different today when he comes home. He'll be so happy, right? Aren't you happy when your wife does that for you? She thinks of something else that's a little nicer, and she makes something that maybe you haven't had in a long time that was your favorite. Then the relationship is enhanced, right? This is love. So in the same way, we serve Krishna in that same mood. Okay. Radharani, she's always thinking how to serve Krishna more, better, different ways. She's always making arrangements to serve Krishna nicer. Krishna is so attracted by Radharani's service. Any other questions, comments? Sorry, I put you all to sleep. Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Kishore Kishore, exhibiting their special transcendental opulence and mercy. Hare Krishna. Is it the activities of Shakshi Gopal, or is it the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya?
Shakshi Gopal.
Shakshi Gopal, okay. So this is continuation. Text 140. Bhuvaneshwara pate yache kaila darsana vistaravani yachena dasa vrindavana. Translation. In his book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has very vividly described the places visited by the Lord on the way to Bhuvaneshwara. What is that sound in the background? Is that... somebody's on the phone? Oh. Somebody, okay. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In his book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anshakanda, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has very nicely described the Lord's journey en route to Katak. On the journey, the Lord visited a place known Balihasta, or Balakatichati. He then visited the city of Bhuvaneshwara, where Lord Shiva's temple is located. The temple of Bhuvaneshwara is situated about 5 to 6 miles from Balakatichati. The temple of Lord Shiva is mentioned in the Skanda Purana in a narration about Lord's garden and the one mango tree. A king named Kashi Raj wanted to fight with Lord Krishna, and consequently he took shelter of Lord Shiva to acquire the power to fight the Lord. Being pleased with his worship, Lord Shiva helped him fight Krishna. Lord Shiva's name is Asutosh, which indicates that he is very easily satisfied when one worships him, regardless of the purpose, and he gives his devotee whatever benediction the Lord wants, so the benediction the devotee wants. Therefore, people in general are very fond of worshiping Lord Shiva. Thus, Kashi Raj was helped by Lord Shiva, but in the fight with Lord Krishna, he was not only defeated, but killed. In this way, the weapon known as Pashupati Astra was baffled, and Krishna set fire to the city of Kashi. Later, Lord Shiva became conscious of his mistake in helping Kashi Raj, and he begged Lord Krishna's forgiveness. As a benediction from Lord Krishna, he received a place known as Kanana. Later, the kings of the Keshari dynasty established their capital there, and for many hundreds of years, they reigned over the state of Orissa. So here, Prabhupada narrates a little story where this one king, his name was Kashi Raj, he wanted to defeat Lord Krishna. So he took help from Lord Shiva. And when he got in trouble, Lord Shiva also came to fight against Lord Krishna. And later on, of course, Kashi Raj was killed, and Lord Shiva was defeated. Here it is explained that many people go to Lord Shiva for material benedictions in the form of power or wealth or many different facilities in order to somehow or other become successful in their material adventures. Here it is explained that Krishna defeated both. Later, Lord Shiva became conscious of the mistake in helping his king, and he begged forgiveness from Lord Krishna. An elaboration on that story is actually that Krishna actually spoke to Lord Shiva and asked him, well, why are you fighting against me? He said that. He said, I am your worshipful Lord. And Shiva actually became so much enthusiastic to help his devotee that he didn't consider he was even fighting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his dedication to his devotee was there. But ultimately, he made a mistake by trying to fight the Supreme Lord Krishna. And he was ultimately and completely defeated in this attempt. So, of course, Shiva came to his senses later on, and he apologized. So sometimes we see Shiva and Krishna fight, but that doesn't mean they're enemies. One's the Lord and one is the devotee. So people sometimes mistakenly think that, you know, there's equality between the two. But there isn't. As we chant every day the 10 offenses against the holy name, we say that and then one who considers Shiva or Brahma on the level of Vishnu is also committing an offense. So Shiva and Brahma are devas, and they're subordinate to Lord Krishna, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's confirmed throughout the scriptures. Text 141. Kamalapure asa bhaginarasana shana kala nityananda hate prabhu danda darila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Kamalapur, he took his bath in the Bhaginadi River and left his sannyas staff in the hands of Lord Nityananda. Excuse me. Purport. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchakanda, Chapter 2, it is said that when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Bhubaneswara, he visited the temple of Lord Shiva known as Gupta Kashi, or the concealed Varanasi. Lord Shiva established this as a place of pilgrimage by bringing water from all holy places and creating the lake known as Bindra Sarovara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in this lake, feeling a great regard for Lord Shiva. From the spiritual point of view, people still go to take a bath in this lake. Actually, by taking a bath there, one becomes very healthy, even from the material viewpoint. Taking a bath and drinking the water of this lake can cure any disease of the stomach. Regular bathing certainly cures indigestion. The river Bhagi, or Bhaginadi, is known as Danda Bhanganadi. It is situated 6 miles north of the Jagannath Puri. The reason for the change in names is given as follows. This is very interesting. Kope Teshwa Dehita Yela Bhatta Gana Sange Eta Nityananda Prabhu Kaile Danda Bhage Tina Kanda Kara Danda Dila Bhasana.